Ask Ryan and Bart how to do that. How to choose things. How to react. Two real smart guys will tell you how to do that. How to do that podcast show.
Welcome to How to Do That. This is episode number 5, and it's Ryan Glanzer here with
Bart Kristoff.
It's freaking cold in here, dude.
I can't believe how cold it is in here, actually.
I am not one to complain about cold weather or cold temperatures or air conditioning, but damn, Common Interest. If you're looking for a place to cool off, this karaoke room at the Common Interest in Austin off Burnett Road is the place for you.
Yeah, I don't... They must have this thing down to like 50 degrees or something.
Yeah, 50, 55 tops.
You could keep meat cold in here.
Easily. We're both shaking. And the our good waitress, Tony, came in here and told us, well, the idea is that you're supposed to start dancing to warm up, and in which case she was going to watch us.
Yeah, but for a podcast, that wouldn't be very useful.
No, we quickly put a halt to that idea. Well, you know, it's right around the corner, don't you, Bart?
Thanksgiving.
God damn right it is.
Man, that's close.
A week from tomorrow.
And what's weird is I was hoping to lose weight coming up, not gain it, but I
can't
think
be
I'm
done.
Screwed. I
no.
think I'm screwed.
Yeah, the holiday season and losing weight just don't go hand in hand.
Yeah, too much food, a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing on Thanksgiving, right? Once you become an adult, it's like, yay, now I get to drink all day and eat turkey and pass out in front of the TV watching football.
God, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's so many of the different topics we're going to cover on this special Thanksgiving episode of How to Do That, where almost everything we're going to talk about is Thanksgiving related. And you know where you can get some good food for Thanksgiving if you don't have plans?
I know where.
Where?
Table.delivery.
Hmm.
So we've got a coupon code of Sweetums. That's Sweetums, and it's $10 off your order. So if you want to order some turkey or some gravy or some pasta or some Chinese food because you're not feeling completely in the holiday mood, then go ahead and order whatever you feel like.
Absolutely. Boy, Sweetums, $10 off code. I think just about any restaurant would be happy to deliver it to you on Thanksgiving Day. Just tip them.
Yes.
Appropriately.
I would say so. Maybe they'll stay with you, and you'll have Thanksgiving with them.
Don't get any ideas about kidnapping tables and drivers now. So, we've got really two segments to this show here today. We've got the Thanksgiving... A part of the show for Thanksgiving avoidances, if you will. Ways to get out of things Thanksgiving-related. And then we've got the pro-Thanksgiving side. The side where how to take it all in. And we've prepared some questions here for each other that I think is going to give you, the listener, a really good insight on how to go about Thanksgiving. And you've got an entire week to soak in all this information before the big day.
Yeah. And do you know where I'm going to be for Thanksgiving?
Canada.
No, I'm going to be back in one of your favorite cities, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Oh, I love that city. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
So I'm going to have to think about that on some of this stuff. Because one of the big things is a lot of people travel. Some people stay home and host. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's some of our topics here today.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. So how would you get out of hosting Thanksgiving?
Well, erectile dysfunction could work again. but I think the easiest way is to say that all of your appliances are broken.
All of them. Was there some sort of electrical surge
in
your house?
And my apartment complex or house got struck by lightning and nothing works, so I have to go somewhere else.
That's legitimate. People aren't going to be able to question that. Dude, my oven doesn't work. Even though it's gas powered, that also doesn't work.
So if you want, yeah, I mean, you could tell them just that your oven doesn't work, and then, you know, I can't order one because it's too close to the holidays. I'm waiting for Black Friday to buy my new oven. And so I can't host, unfortunately. But then, if you get caught in that lie and somebody comes, you know, a month later and they go, that's your old oven, and you're cooking something, that can be a problem.
I magically fixed it. It turned out I had the electricity completely shut off in my apartment.
But yeah, I guess mine would just be, I'd just tell people, sorry, my appliance are broken.
And I have erectile dysfunction. And I'm really sad about it. And, you know, this time of year, I just want to cope.
Well, you could just throw out 20 excuses. I have erectile dysfunction. I had explosive diarrhea last night. Although then they might not invite you to their place.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Or you could say my explosive diarrhea is over, but I covered the entire kitchen in it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Nobody would want to eat there after that.
What if their response to that is, well, Bart, we're going to come over and help you clean that up, okay?
I'd stop being friends with that person. If they were willing to come clean up my diarrhea, then I don't know.
I don't know. That sounds like the kind of friend you want to keep.
Yeah, but that's also, I don't know, that's a thin line, because that's like, that's a little weird friend.
It's a little too personal.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if they're willing to do that, what else they'd want to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you said, hey, I got food poisoning yesterday, and I got to stay home and clean up the bathroom, and I said, oh, I'll come help you, you would think that's freaking weird?
That's weird, yeah. I think my answers to this would be, and one that's a legitimate one this year for me, is we have home renovations going on. I don't know if you've seen our home recently, but my wife has every cabinet door and drawer door in the kitchen torn off, strewn about the garage for painting. So who could possibly host a Thanksgiving with a house in such disarray?
Yeah, I would agree that that's a very legitimate excuse.
Or here's another one. There's been a crime uptick in the area. I just saw today on our neighborhood Facebook page that somebody had a break-in at their house during the day. Now, who's going to want to come to my neighborhood when there's so much rampant crime in the neighborhood?
That's true, too. You could also say that there was a bear let loose out of a nearby zoo.
And it's
supposedly near your neighborhood. And you'd be afraid for children to come over to your house because they look like snacks.
or you could say something like, your next door neighbor is Roy Moore. And
who?
Roy Moore, the embattled Alabama senator with all the child allegations going on.
I am not up to current political
Why he would be in Austin instead of Alabama during the race is beyond me, but you could say that.
All right. So go for it. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll read the next one and let you answer first.
Okay.
How to get out of attending a Thanksgiving.
Well, and this one could be a real one, and it's actually been the actual factor for us for the past 9 or 10 years, actually, because my wife really does have to work on Thanksgiving every year at her job.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Like, they don't get Thanksgiving off. And we actually haven't been able to travel for Thanksgiving in years. Like, even when we were living in Minnesota, we didn't travel for Thanksgiving because her being in the grocery business, they had to at least work on the Friday after, if not Thursday. So we would never be able to drive out to my family or anything like that. So I actually haven't seen my family on Thanksgiving Day since like 2004 or 5.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's like, I'm not trying to get out of it, but that if I were, that is actually like...
So what if it was just how to get out of attending any Thanksgiving?
Oh, and here's one. You always can blame the weather or the roads are bad. At least in the northern half of the country.
Not in Austin.
No, maybe not so much in Austin, but at least in the northern two-thirds of the country, you can say, oh, I was looking at the extended forecast, and those roads are going to be icy out there. Mom, you definitely don't want me driving on that. You know what? I'll just skip it this year.
Yeah.
My mom would love to hear that. She's like, oh, thank God I don't have to worry about you driving. What about you?
That is a good one. Well, I mean, this one's kind of similar to the topic I think we talked about in the first episode, like how to get out of going to something you're invited to, and I think... any number of valid excuses can be used. However, Thanksgiving does have that, it's a family affair typically, so it's harder to get out of family events. So I don't know.
But now that you're married, now you've got the whole other half of the family that you can say, well, we're doing it on her side this year.
Yes, there is always the doing it on one side, getting out of it on the other. But like if I just wanted to, let's just say I wanted to get rid of Thanksgiving out of my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to attend any Thanksgiving or host a Thanksgiving or do anything on Thanksgiving. What would I do to get out of it? I would just tell people that I don't like what it stands for.
That's a great one. Yeah, because didn't the pilgrims actually, like, you know, murder some Indians after the feast or something?
I don't know the true history, but I feel like you could use that as a valid excuse.
Yes, yes.
I don't like what it stands for, and I'm not participating.
the pilgrims came to America and they raped the natives, probably.
Oh my gosh, maybe.
I don't want to celebrate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where the turkey came in either. Like, what? There was an accident and
yeah,
they put the turkey died and they decided to eat it. I'm not sure. We'll have to look up the true history of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I just learned today, actually, believe this or not, my direct ancestors were at the first Thanksgiving.
Seriously?
Yeah, my great-grandmother Penny's great-great-great-grandmother and father were there, according to a distant cousin of mine.
So how could you ever get out of Thanksgiving? I don't think you can. I think you're stuck.
I'm stuck now that I've revealed that information about myself. You're direct descendant. I basically invented Thanksgiving.
your genetic code.
I'm a walking, talking cornucopia.
Yeah, you're genetic. Man, people should want to have Thanksgiving with you.
Yes.
It's like, you know, they can touch you and not your shoulders or whatever and be like, not touch him.
Do some awkward handshakes.
And they can say, I have touched the founder of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Father Thanksgiving.
Yes. That's what I'm going to call you from now on.
Okay. Now here's one that I think might apply to a lot of men out there, or women, could be anybody. How do you get out of preparing any dishes? What if they say, I want you to bring something, and you don't want to? What do you tell them?
You could tell them that you're a terrible cook.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell them that you're vegan, and you're happy to bring a vegan dish, and most people are not satisfied with that answer, so they'll be like, eh, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Nobody wants vegan food.
Not on Thanksgiving, I don't think. I mean, vegans do, obviously. But
yeah.
When you're going to a family affair, if you don't have a vegan in the family, then that's probably a pretty valid thing you can say. And they're like, yeah, don't have Ryan bring any dishes anymore this year.
Yeah, see, I was thinking kind of along the same lines. I was thinking you do bring something the first time you're asked, and it has to be just horrible. Just burn the hell out of it. Or, you know, put some Pepto-Bismol in it or something, and everybody's gonna be like, "Oh my God, did you try it? You tried Brian's corn over there? That's the worst. That's the worst thing I've ever had in my life."
Bring something that's been in your fridge for like 3 months and it's definitely expired.
Yeah, use some curdled milk or whatever you make, and just so prove to everybody in year one how bad you are at cooking, so that you'll never be asked again.
Or tell them you're going to bring, like, a very odd dish. Like, I'm going to bring my Oreo cheese broccoli casserole, and it's going to be delicious. And people are like, what? What do you mean Oreo cheese broccoli? And you're like, well, you put Oreo cookies in there and cheese and broccoli. Nobody wants to eat that.
No.
So I'm pretty sure if you just make up some ridiculous dish, nobody's going to want it.
Yeah.
Or you could say it's a tradition at my house to eat raw pig feet. Do you guys want me to bring my traditional raw pig feet meal?
Yeah.
Nobody wants raw pig feet.
Some people will. So,
cooked
pig one feet. In 20 people are going to be like, oh yeah, bring it over. I love that. Like, God damn it.
Okay. Raw pig feet? I can see like a cooked pig feet. Actually, okay. I don't even know. I don't know what you do with pig feet.
Well, you'd probably have to cook it.
I have these friends from London, and they came over to the U.S. About, I want to say, 6 years ago to go to a traditional United States Thanksgiving, because mm-hmm. they had seen it on TV and movies and things, but they don't obviously participate in that in London. And they brought over an appetizer called the Pineapple Hedgehog, and I was like, what the hell is this? And it's a baked potato. No, it's not a baked potato. It's just a potato wrapped in foil.
Uh-huh.
You don't eat that. That's just used as the body.
Okay.
And then you stick toothpicks in it, and then you do cheddar and pineapple, and you pull the toothpicks off and you eat it. But everybody was so freaked out about it, the cheddar and pineapple and the hedgehog, that like it didn't really get ate.
Yeah.
And I think if you said you were bringing this... Because I just recently was invited to a Friendsgiving, and I said, I'm going to bring my pineapple hedgehog, and they were all like... I'm not sure if that's like a something else you're talking about, or if you're actually talking about a food item.
Yeah, did you say you were going to bring one, or you were going to perform a pineapple hedgehog?
I said I was going to bring my pineapple hedgehog.
Yeah, even so, that sounds code for something.
So maybe that's a way, is if you have just a ridiculous food item.
Yeah.
So the next one... is how to get out of eating a dish that doesn't look good. Perfect.
Well, you've already brought it, and you're really proud of it, and it's sitting there on the table.
The pineapple hedgehog or the Oreo broccoli casserole?
Now, yesterday, I went to my son's three-year-old, his little daycare Thanksgiving pageant, and it was a potluck thing, and everybody had to bring a dish. And you could tell at the end, there must have been one really sad parent, like, their dish didn't get touched.
What was it?
It was like some pasta bake with, like, the turkey and dressing and stuff in it. And it was barely touched. Like, if at all. Like, it was kind of weird looking. Like, nobody quite knew what it was. And that person must have felt really, really bad. Because, like, oh, nobody even gave it a shot. But
so
how do I get out of eating that?
Yeah. What if it's a family member that made it?
Well, and that brings us to the second part of the question is we actually had a mailbag question that was the same thing, was specifically if a grandparent made it.
Oh,
which
gosh.
Is going to be worse than a parent because...
I think, I'm sorry, if the grandparent made it, I have to try it.
Yeah, my answers to this were to somehow ruin the dish by, like, sneezing into it. Like
oh, that's a good one.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit, I'm so sorry, you guys. Oh, I sneezed all over it. We can't eat this now. Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry. I can't eat that prune whip bowl.
Or, like, you accidentally knock it off the counter.
Yeah, oh, spill it.
Like, clumsy. Yeah.
Spill it. That's brilliant.
Wait,
yes.
Didn't you do that with a birthday cake once?
Oh, God. I was not on purpose. My wife baked her own birthday cake, spent all day like baking this elaborate like three-layer cake, and it was up to me to carry it out to the garage fridge and put it in the fridge. It really was like the frosting was still too warm. It started sliding on me a little bit, and I tried to correct it, and I overcorrected, and half of it, like the top two layers fell off and, broke into pieces. I was in big trouble. Big trouble. It was an accident, but that didn't make
sense.
See,
so the question is it worth avoiding eating that dish if you're going to get in big trouble? Because I think my grandmother would be pissed if I were to elbow off her dish she worked all hard on all day and it landed on the floor.
I guess you have to look at the dish. It has to be a dish-by-dish scenario. Like, how long do you think this dish took to make? If it's just a bowl of, like, cranberry sauce or something that probably came from a can, go ahead and tip it off the table and shatter it. But if it looked like she slaved over this for like 10 hours, then yeah, I guess you have to try it.
I think what you do is you memorize every single diet on the planet, and then you try to tell them you're in one of the diets that doesn't allow that particular dish.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful, because if you name a diet that doesn't allow an ingredient in that dish, that might exclude you from a lot of the dishes. So you got to. That's why I'm saying you have to go look up every single diet.
Yeah.
So that you have a catalog of diets to refer to.
Yeah, maybe that should be a blog post we do. We should look up, like, all the main Thanksgiving, like, the top 20 Thanksgiving dishes and come up with a diet for each one that could get you out of eating it.
Yeah, but it still allow you to eat, like,
everything
some of the
else.
Main stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, if you say you can't eat turkey, well, there goes all the meat dishes. You
right.
You can't eat green beans, there goes all the vegetable dishes.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah.
And maybe there's, you could use belief implications on some of that stuff. I believe that the turkey is a sacred animal. I read it in the book of Hirosh Hashah. You just make up stuff.
Man, I think...
That sounds legitimate.
I think that's the winner right there. Beliefs, yeah. Beliefs or diets? Bart with some solid answers here. I feel like you've tried to get out a few of these things before, and you just are talking from experience.
Well, I think now that I've made up the religion of Hirosh Hashah, that I can just use that for everything, and people... I'll be like, what, you don't know Hirosh Hashah?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not allowed to eat... your candied corn.
You, a Trump supporter, don't know Hirosh Hashah? I'm like, wow. And you want to make America great again.
Oh, man.
But,
you have any other pointers on that one?
I did. It just went in and out of my head. What about honesty? Do you think that there's any way to be honest about not wanting to eat a dish and save some face?
So that happened to me. I actually made a dish, and I was trying to do turkey meatballs. So here's the thing. I was having people over for like a mini thing, Friendsgiving, and I tried to make turkey meatballs in a crock pot, and then I wanted to have stuffing and stuff and make little sandwiches, like turkey meatball sandwiches with stuffing and all that. Well, I decided to save time. I would put the stuffing in the crock pot with the turkey meatballs, and I realized quickly that nothing was like cooking very well, and it all kind of mushed together, and so I stirred it up and just made like this big mush pile of stuffing and turkey meat, and it sounds like it would be good, but it's ground turkey, so it's real soft. And when it all came together, it was basically just like this weird gray paste. And so I like pull. It smelled like Thanksgiving, and I pulled it out, and then I was like, you know what? I'll pour gravy in it to make it better. And that made it kind of soupy. And so people were like slopping these things on their sandwiches. And my good friend Daniel, he goes, what the hell is this? This is absolutely disgusting. And I was like, I'm sorry. I screwed it all up. Because you're right. Maybe if you're just honest about it, maybe that person knows they screwed it up and they were hoping someone would say something instead of trying to like hide that they screwed it up. Now, I could have come out and said, hey, I screwed this up, but I didn't. I just kind of stirred it all together and hoped for the best.
I mean, I'm envisioning it looking like moist cat food at that point or something.
That is exactly... Actually, that is what Daniel said. He said, did you just give us cat food?
Well, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think that'll work with like people our age or aunts and uncles and cousins, maybe even parents, but man, it gets to grandparents. I'm just not sure that they're going to be okay with that. I think you're going to be setting yourself up to really hurt some feelings, right?
Yeah.
Grandparents made it. Aaron, you're just going to have to eat it.
And you know what I tried to do after the slop was coming out? I said, well, you know what? Maybe I can make these into patties. And so I took them and I put them on the on a fry pan to like try and grill them up. And that just made them into these hard, crunchy, gross, like turds, basically. They were like, I was like, you were eating cat turds.
Wow. I think it's different if you know exactly what went into it. Like, you were there. You saw it being made. Nobody else, everybody else, it's like, can we trust him that this is
right.
What he says it is?
I'll tell you this much. Trying to make turkey meatballs in a crock pot, that's not the way to make a turkey meatball. I should have baked them.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't stick together like other meats, right?
It's like weird. No. And it's really soft.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ground turkey's odd.
Right. Ground turkey. Well, hey, that gets me to the next one. How do you avoid helping with the cleanup process?
Oh, well, I do this every time. This is very simple. As soon as dinner's done and they start removing the dishes, I go, oh God, man, I really got to go to the bathroom. And then I just spend an hour and a half in the bathroom. That's it. I just play video games.
And you probably really do too, by the sounds of things.
Well, yeah, I mean, so here's the thing with the bathroom. If you time this right, you eat and it starts to push that stuff down through your intestines. And it's not like you're not going to poop out the stuff you just ate.
Right.
It starts pushing. So if you sit on that toilet long enough, it's like a constant, like, I would say every 10 minutes another load comes out.
Uh-huh.
So you can just spend your time, get a little few turds out here and there, then you spend another 10 minutes, and then a couple more come out. And then by the end of it, you feel pretty light, actually.
Well, this only works if you're in a house with multiple bathrooms, right? Because eventually somebody else has to use it.
Yeah, I guess so. If there's only one bathroom, though, I'm not going to that house. That would be how I'd get out of it.
Yeah.
That goes back to number one. If somebody says to me, hey, I want you to come attend my Thanksgiving, I'm like, nope, you've only got one bathroom. They're like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, I have a bathroom problem, and you only have one, and you've got 10 people coming? That's going to be a fight.
Brilliant. If you're willing to admit that to your friend and family, great way to get out.
We know how often I talk about poop. It's probably every episode, so yeah. I am definitely not afraid to admit it.
Well, in my family, I grew up in a household where my grandma, the entire time she was making Thanksgiving dinner, the entire time everybody was eating, and afterwards, she would never, ever just sit down and eat. Like, she was cleaning constantly the entire meal, like picking things up off the floor, washing a dish, like running things back and forth, like constantly cleaning. So it was never even an issue with us. Like, when it came time, like, to normally where, okay, everybody's done, let's clean up, it was like we looked down and the table was just clean. Like, she had never sat down and ate for herself or anything like that. So if you have somebody like that in the family, by all means, encourage them to continue the cleaning. And don't say, oh, please, come sit down and eat with us.
You can also tell a long, drawn-out story as soon as dinner's done. So, like, once dinner's and they're starting to clean up the plate, just start a story. Don't know where it's leading. And keep going. And then constantly kind of look over your shoulder at the person in the kitchen to see if they're still cleaning. And if they're still cleaning, keep the story going. Figure out a way to just keep that story going until all the dishes are washed. And then you can be like, and that's how I learned how to color.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of your story. And then they'll be like, well, what the hell
was that?
So there were like wizards in that and a bear. And you learned how to color that way? I'm so confused. And then you just go, all right, I'm done. I'm out.
I think you just have to... Honestly, for you, you could easily make your Thanksgiving turkey meatball story into like a 40-minute story if you wanted to.
That's true.
I think that's a story you should tell to get out of cleaning.
Yeah, I could be like, I then put in the rosemary.
I waited 14 minutes on the crock pot before I turned it to low, at which point I noticed there was a bird on my balcony.
Exactly.
Another thing, and this was popular in my family as well on my mother's side, was all of the men on my mom's side of the family would immediately fall asleep. Like, as second as the meal was over, they would move to a chair and they'd be out cold. Like, every sick, my great-grandpa, my grandpa, my uncles, everybody would just be out cold for like 2 hours every time there's a big meal. Of course they got out of doing it. They were sleeping and they couldn't be woken. You would shake them. You'd pinch their nose. They wouldn't wake up.
Yeah, I know that nowadays with the, as you get it, so, but the problem is, like, we're kind of that younger age man still, right? Now, as the kid, you've got a kid, as he gets older and he's able to start washing dishes, you're kind of self-excused.
Sure.
It is the responsibility of the child then to clean the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Until that time, though, your father still holds the sacred chair of, I get to pass out and not do anything. So you're in that in-between spot. I don't know if you could easily go and pass out and hope that this is going to get cleaned up, because you're technically still the dishwasher's son. But when your son is old enough to wash dishes, I think you can get out of it.
Yeah, and I think back in those days too, like that generation, it was just accepted, you know, that the women were going to do the cleaning and cooking and the men were just going to kind of sit there. Unless it involves, for some reason, frying a turkey in one of those deep fryers, then it's like, oh, then the man takes over. But now, today's generation, it's like everybody has to do an equal share. And I think that's I think that's the way it should be.
Well, yeah, but it's the man, you say the man does the deep fry. That's not cleaning.
No, I mean, I'm talking
about. Guys love to put a turkey into a thing and then drink beer watching it cook.
Yeah.
There isn't much more to deep frying a turkey than just putting it in the deep fryer and then you're out there standing. And then your wife comes out. What are you doing? I'm cooking the turkey. But really, all you're doing is watching.
Yeah,
turkey
yeah.
Cook
you could
itself.
Easily be doing something else in the meantime. But you can't let a great beer drinking opportunity pass you by.
No. And that's where the men, quote unquote, of the family seem to go outside and drink the beer and watch that deep fryer.
Mm-hmm.
But who cleans the deep fryer? How do you get out of that?
Oh, I don't know. I think you're probably stuck if you're using that turkey deep fryer. Maybe you just don't clean it. Just wait till next. More than likely, you just wait till next Thanksgiving and be like, "Oh my God, this thing's filthy." And then
that's a good point.
Pressure wash it.
You actually, now that I'm thinking about this, that's another way to get out of cleaning anything. Is you could be one of those people that says, "I like to leave the food remnants on my dishes because it adds to the flavor the next time I cook." Well, there is not many people that are going to stand for that. They're going to be like, "No, I want these dishes cleaned." And at that point, you're like, "I refuse. I do not believe in it. I believe in leaving the food remnants inside of my dishes."
That's good. And I would say the same thing too, like, oh, don't you dare throw this food off the plate. No, my beagle's going to climb up on the table here and just eat every last scrap. Just let him have some fun.
Yeah. So the last one is how to avoid annoying or overly talkative family. Oh, man, we were just talking about how I would tell the longest, stupidest story.
So how to avoid you.
Yeah, how to avoid me.
Man, this is a tough one, but it's one that I kept when I was doing some research on Thanksgiving. The common theme was, oh, that annoying uncle who everybody hates, drunken aunt or whatever it is. There's always like some family member at every gathering that people want to avoid.
What would you suppose the name of that drunken aunt is?
Gladys came to mind.
Gladys, Lucille. That's a good one. I like Lucille. Yeah,
Lucille Bluth. I was thinking.
Oh yeah, I like that. I don't know why that just popped in my head. That was weird. Sorry. But yeah, how to avoid the annoying, overly talkative family members.
I personally would do a lot of burping in their face, probably. I'd get really close and, like, I think if you eat anything garlicky during the Thanksgiving dinner, it's a great opportunity to just make that your buffer zone, however far your burp can reach.
Yeah, I guess you could do a lot of bodily functions. You could just fart a lot.
Yeah, oh, any bodily function.
And they're like, get out of here, go to the bathroom. And you're like, all right, I guess I'll leave.
Or you bring up erectile dysfunction with them right away, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to move on to the next one.
I was just watching Curb, Your Enthusiasm, recently, and I saw the episode where he was talking about how he had an itchy butthole.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to go to the doctor to get his itchy butthole fixed. You could talk a lot about your itchy butthole.
I probably could, yeah.
And then I'm sure family members would be like, stop talking about your itchy butthole. Get away from me.
Yeah, but... Okay, that's if...
What about when he had the rash? From the young girls? Remember that?
Vaguely. Man, it's been so long since I've seen those early episodes.
Oh, yeah. What if you have a rash? What if you're like, I have this awful rash.
That's brilliant.
And then nobody wants to be around you. They don't want to touch you.
So you just, before you come to the party, or before you come to the Thanksgiving dinner, you get some, like, pink makeup and just, like, put it all over your arms... Your neck, just start scratching yourself wildly. Maybe let some ants bite you or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Figure out how to get a rash and then make sure you can keep your distance from the people you want to keep your distance from.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Tell them you were volunteering at a soup kitchen and you ended up with a rash. And then they're going to be like, what the hell rash? I don't want it anywhere near me.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from. I went to the strip club last night before Thanksgiving. I got this weird rash all over me. Can you look at it? Just feel it.
Can you see it under the glitter?
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to go.
You'd have to add glitter for the effect, though, so that they really thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that the night before Thanksgiving is like one of the most popular drinking days of the year.
I think, yeah, the biggest night for local bars in the country, I think.
Yeah.
You get all those high school friends back together who haven't seen each other in years.
Yeah, exactly. So then the glitter and the rash could make a very good point.
Yeah.
Especially if you react that fast, you get a rash. They're like, man, I don't want anything to do with that. Flesh-eating bacteria.
This came on since I got here. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, those are the things that we're going to touch on as far as getting out of Thanksgiving chores and attending in general. But some of us love Thanksgiving and want to really take it all in to the extreme.
To the extreme!
Sorry, that was awkward.
Well, so there are people that love to take it all in.
On Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving.
The night before, after the bars.
After that turkey.
Well, these are a few topics that we came up with here. If you want to really make the most of it. So how do you encourage someone, the complete opposite of the first question, how do you encourage your family and friends that you are going to host Thanksgiving this year? You're all coming to my house.
For me, I would tell them, like, if it's a plane flight, I'd have a reason I can't go on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, I came down with this cold and, you know, I had bronchitis. The doctor said I probably shouldn't be on a plane for at least a week. So I'm fine. I'm over it. But I just can't go somewhere where the pressure's high. And that would be a plane. So I can host this year, though. I'd love if you guys came out here.
They'd be like, that's 18 weeks from now. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're saying to pre-plan it.
Yeah, pre-plan. Let's say, like, at least 1 month in advance. But no, I think certain conditions, broken limbs or something, could prevent you from traveling.
What about cold? You could say, like, in our case, we live in Austin, so it's going to be warmer here.
Yep.
Up north, or where we're from both originally, it's colder. And so maybe you have some... thing that make that you're not allowed to be in the cold right now. You need to be in the warmth.
Yeah.
I've been having these backaches lately and my chiropractor said I can't go anywhere that's super cold. I need to stay in the warmth. So why don't you come down here? It's warmer, different type of Thanksgiving.
And I think generally my family would be, at least my mom, at least females in my family would love the opportunity to come to Austin anyway. They just like the warmer weather in general. I think if I really insisted on hosting Thanksgiving, weather would be a primary reason for coming here.
You could tell them this year I want to do a Thanksgiving where we all wear bathing suits, and I think it would be awesome, but, you know, I don't think you can host it all the way up in South Dakota, so maybe, or where is it, North Dakota?
South.
South. South Dakota, because it's going to be cold, but I can host a bathing suit Thanksgiving here in Austin.
You want to have your family all in bathing suits?
No, I know. I'm just trying to think of something.
Sure.
And then when they show up, you can just be like, that was such a bad idea. Don't worry about the bathing suit option.
Right.
I don't know why we decided to do bathing suit Thanksgiving this year. Mm. Yeah. That could be a thing.
It could.
Bathing suit Thanksgiving.
It's way better than nude Thanksgiving.
BST. best Thanksgiving. Be a bathing suit Thanksgiving.
That's a thing. Let's make it a thing. I think the other way, which, God, this is just repeating basically what I said before, but whereas I said before, like, oh, you can't come over because I have all these home renovations going on, the flip side of that is, oh, you guys need to come over here. You need to see what I've done with the house. All these home renovations are finally finished. You've got to come and check it out.
But that also means you have to finish them.
And that's motivation for you to do so. Sometimes you need that extra motivation. And claiming that you're going to host a Thanksgiving.
Well, how long has yours been going on?
At least 5 months.
So see? You should be hosting.
Yeah, I would, instead of spending my weeknight evenings sitting on the couch playing out-of-the-park baseball or watching reruns of Nathan for You, I could be painting cabinet doors.
Yes. Well, I would offer my help, but I'm going to do a how to do that to get out of helping you.
That's a good one. How to get out of helping your friend paint cabinets. Yes. So, how do you get off work for Thanksgiving break if it's applicable to your job? I think us and being in the corporate world, most companies will give you Thanksgiving and the following day off. But there's a lot of us out there who work a different type of job. Hospitals, they can't take off. Police officers, they got to work. Convenience store clerks, they got to be there. How do you get off for sure if you work one of those jobs?
Hashashasha.
Hashasha, yeah. Basically a Festivus for the rest of us, yes.
Yeah, you tell them, I'm sorry, I'm Hashashashin. I'm Hashashashin, and therefore I cannot participate.
Which means I'm a direct descendant of the natives who are at Mayflower.
Yeah, you're a direct descendant.
Yeah.
You're a Mayflowerist.
Yes, maybe you can get a sash made that says that, like one of those mayoral sashes that Mayor Quimby wears. Like, just walk around with that and like, I'm a direct descendant.
I'm a pilgrim.
This is my holiday. I think you need to be very proactive about it when you get the job. Like, hey, by the way, I can work every day of the year, but I absolutely cannot accept this offer unless you promise me that these days are written into my contract. Like, I cannot come in Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Out of the question.
I accept this offer, except I can't work 364 days out of the year. But one day a year, I can work. I accept. Just avoid everything.
I just thought of another good one. Say, family emergency, obviously, but you could probably just be lying. What you need to have to do is, you need to hire an actor to come in person, to your boss, claiming the family emergency. You hire me to come in and be like, where's Bart? Oh my God, there's something, his apartment is on fire. He needs to get out of here now. I mean, you could just go and tell your boss there's a family emergency, but that doesn't
look
good.
Then it'd be one of those things like, what's wrong with him? Or what's wrong with the family member? Death. But then, you know, like you get caught with it later.
Yeah.
My Uncle Ray died, and then later your Uncle Ray comes to where you work, and you're like, oh, no.
So you walk in after the fact, like that following Monday or Sunday, or whenever you come back to work, and you act really upset about it, like, false alarm, goddamn Ryan. He jumped to conclusions again, always overreacting, it was nothing, his leg he got hit by a car, his leg's broke, it's no big deal.
So, did you ever work retail? Or, like, did you have to work on the day after Thanksgiving?
No. The only job I ever had where I did that was at a hotel in college.
I worked for Best Buy and H.H. Gregg. H.H. Gregg went out of business just recently, and I'm sorry, H.H. Gregg.
Oh.
Obviously, Best Buy is going to benefit that. But I worked 7 Thanksgivings.
Wow.
Between those two stores. Day after Thanksgivings between those two stores. And I will tell you. It is hell. It is absolute hell. You have to. So for H.H. Gregg, they started their sale at 4 a.m. We had to get there at 1 a.m.
What?
To start setting up and getting ready. And it was awful. And Best Buy was kind of similar, but we basically worked late the night before and then like got 6 hours sleep, came in.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm going off on a tangent here, but I remember a specific story where I was like, at H.H. Gregg, we were on commission, right? And so we had to sell and I was having a great day, and I'm finally around 3:30 p.m. after being up since 1 a.m., I got to eat the free chicken that they had provided us in the break room. Well, this chicken was pretty much all eaten and cold, and what was left was like scraps. And I'm like, ugh, because I had just been working so hard that day and trying to make money and doing my thing. And I go in there, and I start pulling pieces of chicken out of the buckets, and the manager comes in, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Bart, get back out on the sales floor." And I said, I haven't eaten lunch all day. And he goes, I don't care. There's people out there. They need help. This is day after Thanksgiving. And I was like seeing stars. I thought I was going to pass out. And there was one guy in there sitting there eating his little chicken. Like he had the scraps too. And just this little dude was sitting there eating his chicken. And he goes, Bart, get out there now. And I went, F you. And I like cussed him out, this manager, who was my boss, the general manager of the store. I'm cussing him out at the top of my lungs. And I'm like, I just want to eat some freaking chicken. And I'm getting yelled at. And this guy who was eating his little chicken, he just like stands up quietly, he throws his plate away, and he walks out past the manager as I'm yelling at him because he knew he was going to be next if he stayed in that room. But yeah, that was the last day after Thanksgiving I ever worked.
Oh, wow.
I decided retail was not for me after that.
I had a buddy of mine, Jason was his name. This is back in Minneapolis, where he got a job at Best Buy, I think a seasonal job, and his first day was to be Black Friday. And they didn't have time to train him in or anything, but they really needed the employees. So his job the entire day, the whole Black Friday, was to stand at a certain spot in the store and hold a balloon. He held it. He didn't sell anything. He didn't help anybody because he didn't know anything. He stood there in a Best Buy shirt holding a yellow balloon at a point where there was maybe like a hot item or something. I don't know.
So I when I worked at Best Buy, they did that. They had pallets of hot items, and then they had each person was basically standing by that pallet of hot item to make sure like fights didn't break out or whatever. Then they started to move stuff into like rooms and corners, and then they hid stuff in the back eventually because it just got out of hand. But I had to do what he did my first year at Best Buy, and I was in the printer room. We had these Lexmark inkjet printers that were basically free after a mail-in rebate. I don't know if you remember all this stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And then the ink cartridges cost like twice as much as the printer did. But I was in the back in this room, and they're like, all you have to do is hand printers to people. That's it. Just like hand them the printer when they come up to the door to get the printer. Oh my God. It was complete. That like people were clawing at me trying to get I'm trying to hand one printer at a time to people, and I just wanted to like it was like one of those half doors, you know what I'm talking about, where they can lean over the door.
People were
trying to climb into the room with me with these 300 printers, and I'm like, no, you can't come in the room. They're like, I'm getting my printer, and they were trying to get this printer, and I'm just trying to hand it to them. That was awful. But yeah, I feel for your friend. I mean, I don't know what he had to deal with holding that balloon.
Yeah, and you know what? He never went back.
He must have had to deal with some stuff that day.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was on the floor from 4 a.m. to like 6 p.m. with like one short break holding a balloon the whole day. So,
well, he probably had a lot of people screaming at him and stuff, too. Yeah. I mean, that's what they do. They're insane the day after Thanksgiving. It's like, ah!
I feel like if I was in a position where I was holding a balloon at a hot item and there was like this stack of boxes and people fighting, I feel like I would push the pile over onto the crowd and like just fall into it myself, and we're all just like people arms up in the air and boxes flying and people rolling around, and it just caused a huge scene.
Yeah, but you can't do that nowadays because everybody's got Snapchats and phones, and you'd be on social media the next day.
No doubt, yeah.
Now, back when I was working, when that stuff didn't exist, yeah, easily. You could push pile over on a group of small children and run away.
Yeah, and if you bring small children to a Black Friday event, shame on you.
Like, you would not believe how many people would bring strollers. Yeah. Into a Black Friday.
I suppose they have no other option. Like, who's going to babysit at 3 in the morning?
That is a good point, yes. Yeah. Now that makes sense to me, because at the time I was thinking the same thing, which is, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
Leave your freaking kid out. But maybe, you know what it is? It's because on Thanksgiving, that manly husband decided to pass out from the tryptophan, went to sleep, and then the wife's like, well, I want to go to Black Friday at 3 a.m. And he's like, well, you're taking the kid with you, because I ain't watching the kid. I'm sleeping still. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to take the kid in the stroller.
And then the kid's sleeping schedule gets thrown off, and then like a 2-week thing afterwards.
Well, a lot of times the kid was sleeping in the stroller.
Oh.
Which I was very surprised about because it was so loud.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like kids can just sleep through anything.
Yeah.
Some kids can.
I've never once participated in any sort of Black Friday event. Never once in public.
Really?
Yeah, never have. That doesn't appeal to me. I'll do my shopping online, thank you very much.
The year after I was out of retail, I decided I wanted to try shopping on the day after Thanksgiving because I had done it in retail. So I wanted to see what it was like from the reverse side.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually worse reverse side. There are, like, if you go to a Walmart and they got those doors, they do the opening of the doors, there's people with carts all waiting at the doors ready for it to open. And you get in line. But as soon as they see anyone start to unlock doors, people start pushing each other with the carts, and you will get body slammed with a cart. And then once those doors open, there's people just shoving each other through the door, like, get in there, I'm going to get my Nintendo Switch, or whatever, you know? And so when I went 1 year with my sister, we had walkie-talkies, and we did, like, code names. So we'd be like, hey, Twinkle Toes, and hey, Tuffy Tim, or whatever it was. Be like, hey, I'm at the whatever. But so when we did that, people were shoving us from behind with their carts. And, like, we didn't even have cart, because we just knew we were only getting, like, three things, and I could carry them. So we're getting shoved through the door. I got so angry, I turned around and I spun the person's cart sideways with all my might.
Yeah.
And it got jammed in the door, and everyone was shoving into that person trying to get through, but they couldn't because it was sideways. We just walked in the store, and nobody was behind us because they couldn't get past this one person that I had shoved. And nobody's going to back off. So they were there for at least a good 10 minutes before somebody finally goes, let her get her cart through.
Wow. That'd kill a person.
Very
pinched between a door and a cart.
You know what? Jeez. Maybe she didn't make it. I don't know. So but you know what? She was hitting me with that cart, and I was not happy.
No, that's not. I would just jump in the cart. You know, I'd just jump in the
push
cart.
Push me to my items.
Squeeze my legs into the little child seat and demand to be pushed around.
Oh my God! I could not imagine. You're like 6 foot.
It would flip over immediately. Oh, 6'6". Yeah,
6'6".
No doubt it would flip.
You had the little baby chair in the front. Oh my gosh.
So that answers how to get off work for Thanksgiving break.
Oh man, that was only one of those.
And we had a Black Friday topic, but I guess we kind of covered that.
Oh yeah.
So that's okay. Well,
yeah, we're good. Yeah, no. So the time works out. That's
so
perfect.
How do you eat yourself into a coma? Do you have any tricks for, like, you see this giant Thanksgiving spread and you're hungry and you're like, I am going to dominate this year. I am going to leave here in a wheelbarrow. And this kind of goes back to the Chinese buffet discussion. But do you have any tactics for eating as much as possible?
Absolutely. It's very, very simple.
Oh, please share.
So everything you eat first has to be protein or vegetable. You do not touch any bread items at all. You get all that shoved into your belly. And it takes a while for your belly to realize that you've actually got some food in there. Now, if you had done the reverse, those dang muffins and stuff and the bread, or muffins, not muffins, dinner rolls expand in your stomach. The stuffing expands in your stomach, so it makes it harder to eat more. So you got to do all the protein stuff first. Then you start shoving down the breading items after that. It could make you throw up. I've had that happen. But you're going to eat yourself into a coma.
Yeah, I suppose that's the inverse of that is to how to avoid eating yourself into a coma is
start with the bread items. Yeah.
My brother and I, years ago, we used to actually have a contest. We'd weigh ourselves in before Thanksgiving dinner and then after to see who gained the most weight.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was back when, I mean, I'm like...
That's a good encouragement to eat yourself into a coma.
Yeah.
Or were you trying to be the one who had less weight or the one who had more?
Oh, the one who gained the most. Okay. Yeah. We were both pretty much fat slobs at that point in time. I mean, I was pushing 270, so... I think I gained 6 pounds over the course of Thanksgiving, and my brother gained like 5.7. And the bet was the winner got to publicly slap the loser across the face in front of the family.
Oh, man.
So he's 6 years younger than me, and the family and grandparents and everybody are there, and it's time for me to slap him. I'm like, I can't slap him in the face in front of the family. I gave him a friendly little pat on the face, and that was that. To this day, it irks me that I didn't just haul off and slap him, because we'd never do that contest again.
Did you did it multiple times?
No, just one time.
Oh, just the one time.
Just the one, and then we both kind of got healthy after that, at least moderately.
Yeah, I wouldn't say healthy.
I mean, I literally that year drank gravy, what was left of the gravy in the, in the little gravy container, the pot or whatever that comes out the spout.
Yeah.
I literally drank what was left of it, because there wasn't much left. I'm like, I can handle that.
Give me a few extra pounds. We need to come up with a line of beers, like gravy beer. Yeah. Turkey beer, stuffing beer.
If somebody hasn't thought of brewing beer with gravy yet, it's a damn shame.
Yeah, pumpkin pie beer. You just have a Thanksgiving beer menu.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You drink it with each item you eat. So, like, you eat the turkey, you drink turkey beer.
Mm.
And then when it's time to put the gravy on, you drink the gravy beer. And then when it's time to eat your stuffing, you drink the stuffing beer.
I have an uncle who owns a brewery, so if you want to go ahead and tackle that, go for it, Brian.
Yes. And we want to be the first taste testers, since it's my idea. I own 50%. I don't think that's how it works in the business world.
No.
I don't think you can just yell out, I own 50%.
Well, that's like Kramer and Morty Seinfeld fighting over the rain jackets.
Oh, right.
Morty was going to get 75%, Kramer 25. That was too much of a finder's fee. And then they negotiated and they ended up back where they started. Anyway.
Yes.
25% maybe. That's what you're looking at.
Or the Manzeer. Do you remember that
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
I don't
the
know
bro,
if there was a...
The bro, Manzeer! Bro, Manzeer!
Yeah. No, Kramer always had something going on.
So, I guess we've kind of already answered the next question. How not to feel like ass after eating 6 pounds of food.
Oh.
Because you start with the carbs, I guess you said.
Yeah, well, you're still going to feel like ass if yeah. you're trying to eat yourself into the coma. I think my other option was good, though, is you just go in the bathroom for an hour and a half and let it trickle out.
We don't all have that luxury, but I think that year that you and I did the 5-mile turkey trot before Thanksgiving.
That did help.
It did help. Like, it really
metabolism.
Amped up the metabolism.
Yeah.
So I ate a lot, but then, like, I was hungry again at 3 o'clock, so...
That's a good point.
Run 5 miles beforehand.
Exactly.
That worked well.
Yeah, maybe take some probiotics and a vitamin.
An enema.
Okay, I don't know. Hey, have you had your Thanksgiving enema?
Yeah, it's like, who gets the wishbone? Okay, and who gets the enema?
I'll take it. Oh, man. Wait, we didn't answer the question how to justify drinking heavily, did we?
Oh, shit, we skipped right over that. This is one that I wrestle with every year because not that many people in my family drink heavily. Like, everybody drinks, but not to the extent that I do.
Yeah.
And I always feel like the town drunk when I show up at Thanksgiving.
The town drunk?
Yeah, because Carpenter only has 4 people to begin with, so.
Well, then you're definitely the town drunk.
Yeah, yeah. If I have...
You have a 25% chance of being the town drunk.
Like, most of the people older than me in the family, I was going to say grown-ups. Most of the people older than me in the family can handle, like, 1 or 2 beers, and that puts them to sleep. And the women in the family will drink, like, sip on a Moscato wine or something. So it's really just, again, me and my brother are left by ourselves, kind of like, well, geez, I'm on my 7th beer here. Is this okay? Or what? How do you justify that?
I would say for me, how to justify drinking heavily is you could tell them you lost a lot of money in the stock market.
Mm.
And you are not happy about it. And that could be part of your storytelling, part of your, you know, all these things. Get out of a lot of stuff. And then you could also drink heavily because, woe is me, I lost a lot of money in the stock market.
But but you always do this.
That's true.
No, I think for me, it's just, hey, this is who I am, you guys. I'm going to be the fun one.
I'm an alcoholic.
It's
I'm going to be the alcoholic.
I think it's fun to be like the life of the party. Because if I wasn't drinking, everybody else would probably just be like off in their corners. The kids playing over here. The men just sitting in front of the football. And women just kind of congregating.
Doesn't that happen anyways?
Yeah, but I'm the one who's holding it all together, like keeping the glue that holds the family Thanksgiving together.
You're the guy dancing in front of them while they're all passed out, and you think that they're all having a great time, but they're not even paying attention to you?
Probably. I think I'm just... If it's really important to me to drink all day, and it is, you got to find a partner. You got to find a drinking buddy. You can't go it alone. It's no fun by yourself.
Yeah, that's a good way to justify it. You know how you had the competition with your brother for the eating the most?
Mm-hmm.
You could almost have like your buddy be like, I'm done with my beer, now it's time for your beer. Where's your beer at? You know, and then keep it going.
Yeah.
And I also think if, who was your family member that does the brewery?
My uncle in North Carolina.
So there's a couple ways you could use the uncle in North Carolina. You could have your uncle send batches of beer for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
You could be like, we have to drink all these. Because they're from the uncle. And so that would be a justifying drinking heavily on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And you open all the bottles right away at the beginning because they are going to go bad. It's well known that beer's going to go bad. So you have to open them all right away. Well, we got to finish these.
Well, yeah, you could say he wanted us to drink them together as a family. So we're going to to drink these. The other thing is he could brew the beers we were just talking about. And then you're obligated to drink a beer with every food item that you decide to eat.
Another thing I thought of was... Use the excuse of the digestif, if you will.
What is that?
That's oftentimes like a grain alcohol that people will eat after or drink after a big meal as kind of a way to start the digestion process. Although that's kind of a myth, but I've seen a lot of people do that on a trade show.
Isn't that like a big Greek thing?
Yeah.
Or something where they do like the post-dinner shot. Yeah, Italian does that too.
Yeah.
Italy with the Sambuca.
Yes, exactly. Those kind of things.
With the coffee beans and the Sambuca. Have you ever done that?
Uh-uh.
It's It's not great. But you know what? I'll tell you what. It makes you feel good.
If you want to drink on Thanksgiving, you'll do what you need to do.
You know, look it up. Look up Sambuca with three coffee beans. Not right now, but I'm telling the listeners. Okay. If you look it up, it's like a tradition to do that after like a big meal, is you're supposed to do Sambuca with coffee beans. And it's like a dessert drink. It tastes like black licorice, which I don't like. But the coffee beans do offset it a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you've ever had black Sambuca, there's two types. There's a clear Sambuca and the black. I have thrown up black Sambuca, and it is not good. It's sticky, it is black, and it will ruin anything that you throw it up onto.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I had to replace $3,000 worth of carpet in my condo because of that black Sambuca.
Oh my God. Noted.
Anyways, next is... Oh, well, we kind of talked about that. How to take a long nap after eating. Well... I don't know. I guess it's kind of a different question. First, it was how to eat yourself into the coma. Now, how do you take a long nap after eating? Because there is a lot of noise and commotion and stuff going on. So what do you do?
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of like how to justify like passing out for 3 hours while everybody else is...
Well, like, I don't think there is a... Is there a justification for that? I mean, it's Thanksgiving.
No, I guess once the dishes are done, you're kind of free to do as you wish as long as the kids have somebody watching them. But for me, it's like... From my experience, you just... actually have to fall asleep. Once you have turkey and wine, you're gonna probably be ready to pass out anyway. I mean, you just go and sit down and you're out.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that's kind of a dumb way of answering it, but if you actually fall asleep, it's gonna be harder for people to wake you up, as opposed to I'm gonna lay here and hope that I can take a little nap. Then people can keep nudging you, right?
See, for me, this all goes hand in hand. All of it goes hand in hand. You can just go into the bathroom and you can nap in the bathroom for an hour and a half. And as you're napping, the poop trickles out, and then you feel better.
So you're basically killing like 11 birds with one stone by sitting on the toilet.
Just sit on the toilet for an hour and a half. Everyone needs to do that every day. Sit on the toilet for an hour and a half. You're going to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You feel lighter. Body is pooping stuff out. You can sleep in there. You can get work done. You can play video games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can kill. You know, maybe I should just have a toilet attached to me.
Have you ever stood up after your 90-minute toilet session and had noticed the redness on your legs of sitting on the seat for that long?
Yeah, so there are tricks. You can get a little stool, and then you put your feet up on the stool, and your legs go up in the air, and then that helps with the blood flow.
Okay.
You can also kind of like sift side to side, which helps with the blood flow. The thing that could be hard, though, is as you get older, you're more prone to getting hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not that I have that problem, but I'm saying that can be a problem.
It could happen.
Yes.
I mean, so, I even noticed as we're trying to potty train our son, like, he'll sit on his little potty for a half hour and he gets up and like, dang, there's like a giant circle on him. Like, that's got to be three times as worse for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think mine ever comes out solid, so... No. It's usually a little bit of stomach acid burn in the butthole.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So let's finish up the Thanksgiving talk with how would you make this the best Thanksgiving ever? If you had to give our listeners one word of advice, how is this going to be the best? 2017 Thanksgiving is the one you're going to be talking about for 30 years.
It's all attitude. You got to go in there wearing the turkey headdress. You got to go in there wearing the turkey shirt. You got to go in there with... turkey drawings and you're going to be all about this Thanksgiving. And you are like, for you, I would dress as a pilgrim and I would have a stuffed animal turkey on my shoulder that I would literally, that's what I would do the whole time. I mean, you would be the life of the party. You could justify drinking because you're crazy looking and you are going to be in that Thanksgiving mode. If you have done that, like think about Halloween.
Yeah.
People get into Halloween because they dress up and they're like that character and they want to be, you gotta dress to impress for Thanksgiving.
True, true. I might do that.
I think you should. Hey, take pictures, please. Put them on the blog.
Okay.
I would love to see what you look like in a big pilgrim outfit with a turkey on your
shoulder. It's Glensgiving, everyone!
My God.
Is what I'll say.
Please don't use that voice.
Well, I'm especially excited for this Thanksgiving. It's been a long time since I've actually been excited about Thanksgiving because, A, like I said, I haven't seen my family on Thanksgiving in over a decade.
Wait, are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going to Carpenter, South Dakota to the Glanzer Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm traveling over 1,000 miles to get there with my 3-year-old who's never been to a family Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And get this, this is the real kicker. My two favorite football teams, the Vikings and the Chargers, both play on Thanksgiving. Vikings at Lions, Chargers at Cowboys. It's got the makings for a huge epic day.
That's amazing.
I've been in Texas for so long that I've forgotten what normal, like, northern U.S. weather feels like this time of year. So it's probably going to have, like, that briskness in the air, which kind of gets you in the spirit.
Yeah.
So I think mentally I'm where I need to be for this to be the greatest Thanksgiving ever.
Well, I'm
but
excited
not,
for
not
you.
Everybody can do that, but...
Make sure you get some good pictures. Yeah, you know what? If you're bringing your 3-year-old, you should dress him up as a turkey and you'll be the pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
He would love it, right?
He does. He totally is into dressing up as...
Yeah.
Holiday items.
Exactly. Have you had him draw the turkey hand yet? Do they do that in school still?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I saw one turkey hand where the guy did the middle finger. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it just has one feather
coming
out?
It's like a turkey that's flicking you out. Flicking you off. Flicking you out. Oh, man.
Yeah.
How many Miller Lights have I had now?
Well, we are 3 shots short of last week at this point in the episode.
Thank God.
We've hit the 1-hour mark now. Thanks for sticking with us, those of you who have continued on to this point.
Last week at this time, we were getting into dick pics.
Yeah. Julio, it was all Julio's fault. His dirty mind. He starts out sexting right away.
I just
away
did it again in this episode. So now people are going to be like, oh, man. I'm going to turn this down again.
So the people who were playing this for, say, an entire marketing office or something, and the speakers are probably going to, at this point, turn it down. But please don't.
Yes, no. Just because we said dick pics doesn't mean you should turn it down.
So we were going to talk a couple Black Friday things next, but we kind of covered that, right? I don't think we need to go back to
that. Yeah, I don't think we do. I think right now we can go into the sponsor, and then we'll do the reader mailbag. But first, I think we should take a quick break.
A quick break, all right. To you listening out there, it won't sound like a break because it'll just start right up where we left off. This episode of How to Do That is brought to you by 188th Street Creations of Carpenter, South Dakota. I'll talk into the microphone, sorry. This is their last time they're going to mention this offer. This is your last opportunity because they won't have enough time to get your Christmas orders in if you don't. 20% off using the podcast coupon code when you speak with Jordan or Marcy on the 188th Street Creations Facebook page, and that'll get you a state outline creation of some sort. Anything you can imagine, they can make it out of wood, clay, I don't know. Just talk to them and find out. And that brings us to the reader mailbag.
All right, so these are all questions from Tom in Austin.
And I didn't do a very good job of making our reader mailbag known to the public this week. Nobody submitted anything. I didn't advertise it enough. So, Tom, thank
you. Tom, you are the star.
We've got a lot of Tom questions to work through. And we're going to hit a few of them right now in a little bit more of rapid-fire succession. But
so first one is how to make a mountain out of a molehill. Go!
Well, this is the old adage. When something minor gets blown into epic proportions, I think you just, if you're going to do this, this has to be a person that you've kind of had a spat with for a while and you've held it back. Like somebody's bothered you on and off for a long time. It has to be like a final straw sort of thing. Like this person comes in and is like, hey, can you move your desk chair? It's a simple request. That's when you blow up at them. It's like, it is time to make this a big deal, you son of a bitch. Flip that chair over and go let him have it. Wring his neck.
So I think first you locate the molehill.
Oh.
And then you rent a truck with a lot of dirt and you make a mountain.
That's a very literal interpretation.
All right, next.
How to make sure your boss knows that you're working early or late. And this is something I'm sure we've both dealt with in the past.
Oh, yeah. I know that you don't want to be that first one to leave. And you don't want to be the last one to work, so you have to make sure that they know you're working. And for me, it's pretty simple. I just use my phone for email, and I check it right when I wake up, check my work email, and I try to at least respond to one or two that my boss are on in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then late at night, same thing. I'll check it at like 7, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and then I'll respond to one or two that are on there so that he knows I am always working.
Yeah, for me, very same thing, yeah. Actually, I found out that Gmail has this awesome plugin that will allow you to schedule an email. So what I would do back at a past contract job was I would schedule an email. I'd write a response at like a normal business hour, and I'd say, send this at like 1:45 a.m. And then I'd send I'd have another one go out at like 5:15 a.m. And they'd think, oh my God, this guy basically slept from 2 to 4 last night.
Man, that is genius.
So I can't remember what the name of that plugin is, but I'm sure if you search for it, you can find it. But the other thing is, if you're like in an actual office situation and you need to be seen, it's just as simple as making yourself seen. As long as you get there like 30 seconds before the boss, you just walk by the office as if you've been there for 2 hours.
Yeah, you get to know his schedule.
Yeah, you know his schedule. When I used to work with Tom, what I would do... No, just kidding, Tom. he'd be sitting there, you know, if I beat him to the office, you have to make yourself look really well positioned, like you're going back for your second cup of coffee.
Wait, was this your boss at one point?
He was the highest up at the previous place.
Oh, so is he asking this because he wants to know how you made it look like that?
Probably. And I'm off the hook now.
You just said you used a plugin to send emails out. That's genius.
No, that wasn't to that job. The email thing was for a contract job. No, I'm sure they never got any emails from me off hours there. Everybody knew for a fact I wasn't working past X, I wasn't working in the middle of the night. Yeah. Nobody was.
So how to make a witty reply to a popular Twitter account?
Well, I've been known to...
I feel like you're good at this.
I've replied probably 40 or 50 times to our commander-in-chief on Twitter.
Oh, God.
And I had one recently that got like 41 likes, which is pretty good on Twitter because I don't have that many followers. But it's all about timing. Donald Trump tweeted something and I replied. I was like one of the first 10 people to reply. And it got.
What, do you have notifications turned on or something?
No, I just happened to stumble across. Like I was on, I have TweetDeck, which has all the different columns laid out, and I have a Donald Trump.
Does it
column.
Creep you out to know that he was taking a dump doing his Twitter at that time that you responded?
I just figure that's what's up at all times now. But I replied to something with it. It was actually a pretty clever. He used a word that you would not think Donald Trump to use. It was like apoplectic, I think was the word, and I'm like. My natural instinct was just to respond like, oh, somebody broke out the old thesaurus, which is pretty good. Like, it was a bipartisan comment that a lot of people could appreciate on both sides.
Yeah.
And it got instantly like 41 likes until like the big hitters started replying and then it got buried. But for a while, it's all about timing and it's about cleverness.
In my case, I don't ever use Twitter. So I would say how to make a witty reply to a popular Twitter account. Would be to have someone else do it for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I just don't.
You need to hire your own social media intern to just monitor.
Yeah, I'm going to pay someone a salary to be my social media intern.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'd be like Donald Trump.
Pretty much.
So the next one is how to get a lot of likes on a Facebook post.
Well.
And you just explained... One way,
yeah,
which is to reply very, very quickly to something.
Uh-huh.
You can get a lot of likes, but what else you got?
Well, here I did this for a past company. I went on a website called Fiverr.com, and you can pay $5 for somebody to give your post 2,000 likes. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if these are all bots or what, but they did it. Like some random post about a new printer all of a sudden got 2,000 likes. So you can pay people to do it for $5.
Interesting.
Or, I mean, if you want to do it the more organic way of actually getting likes on your personal posts, I think it just comes down to timing. Didn't you once tell me the optimal time of day to post something on Facebook?
I don't remember. Maybe. Could have been in one of those drunken states.
Let's get you started.
Oh, thank you. So, I would say that the one thing that I know you can do is if you do a giveaway, which by the way, I was supposed to give away $20 or something last week. I don't remember.
No, it's before the end of the year. We're going to take all of our Twitter followers and pick someone to win $20 and an autographed picture of you.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, that was after the fireballs had settled in, so I don't remember. But no, if you do like a giveaway on your post, no matter what, you can be like, today was the day that I got married. By the way, I'm giving away a $500 gift certificate to Ruth Chris if you share and like this post.
There you go. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then you actually have to give something away. So.
Right. Yeah, I think that otherwise, it's kind of Facebook's algorithms are just going to prevent you from getting a ton of likes on a normal post. Because they put the engagement and baby announcement stuff first, and certain keywords get put up. Your post might not even be seen by 90% of your followers.
It is crazy, because even today, a friend of mine got engaged on Facebook, and they already have like a crazy amount of likes, and it was posted like 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, why can't I post something about, you know, me, you know, being at the bar, and I get 1,000 likes?
That would be pretty funny if you got like 76 likes for checking into the common interest.
Yeah, I'm here, you know, drinking my Miller Lite. Like me.
Yeah, I know. God, this is going to sound really bad, but no, I won't even say it. I'll get in trouble.
All right.
Next one is how to pick your fantasy football team name. Now, I know the fantasy football season's like 60% overtime, so maybe this is for next year. But what do you think?
So I actually change my name every week.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Not every week. So my team name is only based on the quarterback, whoever that is, because he's kind of like your base of the team. And so I always try to come up with something that's somewhat, I guess, witty.
Sure.
And so for mine, I have Tom Brady on one of my teams. And so I did... I just met you, call me Brady.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I just met you.
Did you make that up?
Yeah, completely made that up. I had Aaron Rodgers before he went out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had Mr. Rodgers' Neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And then I had Philip Rivers for a little while. So I did Cry Me a Rivers. Uh-huh. And the reason I came up with that one was because I was sad that I lost Aaron Rodgers. And so it was Cry Me a Rivers.
Okay.
Rivers didn't work. So then I went to McCown. And then I did Down with McCown, because it rhymed. It wasn't really witty, it was just rhymed. And he sucked. So this week I'm picking a new quarterback, and I'll have to come up with something new.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, based off one player on your team.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, an old buddy of mine, Tom, not the same Tom, but a different Tom, Tom V, had a pretty clever baseball team name. He had Yu Darvish, Doug Fister, and Jorge Cantu all on his team, and his team name was I'd Fister You Cantu. It's like he actually had all those players. I don't know if he drafted them on purpose just so that he could have that team name or not, but that's, you gotta.
So he tried to incorporate multiple team names. Which, that gets tougher, I think. I don't think it's as funny or witty unless you happen to have something like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was great, but if you can do, I think, a single guy on your team, even if it's not the quarterback, maybe it's your running back. You like, you have Ezekiel Elliott or something. You come up with something cool for that.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Do you do funny team names on your team?
I go the lame route. I pick something that's just kind of like childish. My go-to team name for almost every fantasy sport I do is Data Computing Robot. It's just like, it's not sexual. It's not based on a player or anything. It's just, I have a picture of a happy little computer with a smiley face and a Santa cap as my logo. And that's my team name every year. It's Data Computing Robot. Except, actually, in this league with Tom, I'm in a fantasy football league with him, and my team name there is actually Sweat and Discharge, which is a funny inside joke amongst people who work at the company. It's totally inappropriate to explain the backstory about it, but people at the company would know.
Oh, my God. So Tom and Austin also asked, which I hope we don't get Tom and Austin in trouble here because I'm not sure what this relates to.
Oh, boy.
He said, how to tell your wife or girlfriend it's time to lose a few poundage.
Oh, God. Is there an answer here that can save anybody from...
I don't think so. I'll be honest. I'm not going to answer that question. I do not want to be in trouble.
No, me neither. I specifically told Tom, I'm like, I love all these questions, but I really don't want to touch that one. But I will say, I think, generally speaking, you yourself say, man, I need to get in shape. I need to start going to the gym.
And you encourage the significant other to join you? Is that?
Yeah, maybe. You don't really...
Don't push it too hard.
No, no. Just very...
You're like, hey, you want to come play a game of racquetball with me? Or you want to, you know...
I mean, make it all about yourself.
Yeah.
Man, I am a fat piece of shit. My God, look at me. I look at me in the mirror. I'm hideous. I think maybe that's the only safe way to approach it. But of course, me by me saying this
and
now.
And then you look at them and go, what do you think about yourself? I'm taking that back. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So, boy, is there a safe answer here? I don't think so. I think it's just something where they have to think of it themselves. But next one, how to convey "I told you so" without saying "I told you so."
Oh, man. That's also a tough one, because most of those conversations come up with the wife or significant other, right?
Yeah.
How to say it without saying it. Well, it looks like you got notes. Why don't you go first and I'll think.
I think it's all about facial communication. I think you can easily do it with just like a little, a turn of the head, a smirk, and maybe a that kind of noise with your
cheek. Isn't that more cocky than just saying "I told you so"?
I think you can't see my face here, but I've got the perfect face for it. It's like,
you know what? I think the way to do it without getting in too much trouble is be like, "Man, I wish we would have thought of that before," and be like serious about it. And then maybe they'll be like, "No, you did. You did say something about it before." And I'll be like, "Oh, I did. Oh,
told you so." Essentially,
yeah. Without saying "I told you," you just like, "I didn't even think about it. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad I said that before."
Mm-hmm. That's a good
that's
one.
That's the only answer I got.
Yeah. Most of the time, I think in those situations, the other person will eventually, if you make eye contact with them and make that little face like tilt of the head and the eyebrow up, they'll be like, "I know."
That's
and
true.
And you won't have to say it. I mean, really, if they don't say "I know," then
they forgot.
Yeah. Well.
They drank too much.
Yeah.
How to respond when you hold a door for a stranger and they don't acknowledge it.
Ooh, good one. I mean, this has happened to you?
Yeah, it has. But so one time, it was funny, I held the door for a young woman and her mother. And they walked in. And the mother said to the daughter, because she goes, you know, "Thank you." And she said to the daughter, "You need to say thank you." And so she pointed it out at that time, because it's, you know, the chivalry is... And actually, one time, I was holding the door open for my wife to get into her car in a Whataburger parking lot, and this lady drove up, stopped, rolled down her window, and she goes, "That was so nice of you to open the door for her. I wish more men did that." And that's the acknowledgement you like to get. But when they don't acknowledge it, when the person that you're doing it for doesn't acknowledge it, what do you do?
Personally, I would probably just make an exasperated noise like, or "Hmph." Or something
just,
like that.
I always just go, "Oh, millennials." Yeah, unless it's like a much older person or something. It's usually, I think most older people are pretty good about it.
Yeah.
It's a younger generation that just, I'm going in here. I don't care.
Right.
I deserve it. I'm a VIP. Yeah. That's like the millennial statement, right? I'm VIP.
So this is a true story. This happened to me once. It just came to me. I was walking into a building, and I was kind of looking at my phone, not paying much attention, and I just walked right in the door and I went inside. And then later I turned around and looked, and it was, somebody had held that door open for me. Like in my head, it was just like an automatic door that came open. And I kind of looked back and I could tell the person was kind of upset. I'm like, I gave them a gesture like, thank you. But it was like long after the fact, like once I'd finally put my phone down. Oh, do you remember that time we were in that Walmart parking or that Sam's Club parking lot? And I was helping you haul something home in that old pickup.
Oh, man.
And,
that lady.
I was instructed by the Sam's Club employee, like, okay, you can park here in this fire lane for just right now. Just stand by your truck, make sure nobody says anything. While you and this guy were hauling whatever giant box it was out of the store.
Yeah.
So I'm standing by this pickup. Meanwhile, walking past me is this woman carrying like two gigantic plants or something and really struggling with it. And then she tried to like hoist them up into the back of her pickup, and I just was standing there, and I was right by her.
You were kind of watching, yeah.
I was kind of watching, like, I should help, but I was told to stay here, and what should happen, but this other old woman in a truck drives by and rolls down the window, and she screams at me, "Shame on you! Whatever happened to a little chivalry? Go help that woman now!"
I remember that.
And I'm like,
because we came back to the truck, and we were like, where the hell is he?
Yeah.
He just left his truck here, and then we were loading the stuff up into your truck. And then we needed help because it was heavy and you weren't there. And then you're running back from the parking lot. And I'm like, where were you? What were you doing?
So I run over to this woman because this old woman scared the crap out of me. Like, I was not expecting to be confronted at that point in time. Somebody had witnessed the whole thing, was very upset about my behavior. So I go over and I help that woman. I'm like, I'm sorry, can I help you with that? And she's like, very grateful, of course, because she couldn't lift these big potted plants into her car.
Why why is this woman buying potted plants
and
that she can't lift? Come on.
And the old woman who confronted me stayed in her car and kind of like crept out the parking lot. I could see her watching to make sure I followed through on it before I came back. And you're like, where the hell were you?
Yeah.
And you're like, only this would happen to you, Glanzer.
Yep. You do always have something happen to you.
That lady.
Man, I wish we would have had a camera on you that day for that. It's almost kind of like a prank thing, like a punk thing. Yeah. Those YouTube videos where they see how people will react or what they will do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's what it was. You're somewhere on YouTube with 41 likes. All right, so the last segment is doing a couple Google autocompletes, I think.
And I'm hoping I can get on the internet this time.
How many minutes are we in this week? What are we at? Because last week was long.
We're 1 hour and 20 minutes in about.
Holy mother. How do we get so long now?
You know, I think we just have a lot more to say. We have more questions, for one thing.
People, this is like longer than my poop sessions.
I think we're going to have to hit pause on the old podcast while I figure out how to connect to the World Wide Web.
What do you want me to start typing in here?
Okay. How to...
Oh my God, hold on. Google.com. Can't believe I actually still have to type that in.
Right?
It's trying to connect to the Wi-Fi here, too.
Oh. By the way, we are broadcasting from the Common Interest in Austin, Texas. It may be the original karaoke bar of Austin, maybe ever, I don't know. But a great spot. We're in one of the private karaoke rooms, which I think are normally $25 an hour. You don't want to sit out there and wait for karaoke all night on the main stage. You come in here, you get a few of your buddies. They have waitresses coming in here, you're bringing you drinks. You've got control of every song in their database up here. It's an awesome experience.
It is a lot.
We've done this like literally 40 or 50 times probably, if not more.
Yeah, it's a great time, honestly. And it is good. Like you can set up yourself for a song on the main stage and you go out there and check every once in a while and then you do your song on the main, come back here, practice a few more songs.
Yeah, you want the acknowledgement of the crowd for a good song, but you still want to get songs in the meantime. Which
so I got Google up.
I think you
so
should
go type in how to what?
G-R-O.
How to grow your hair faster.
Mm.
How to grow a beard. How to grow taller. How to grout tile. And how to grow garlic.
Huh. Well, the first three seem like ones that we could tackle. How to grow taller. Well, I'm 6'6", as you know, and you're 6'2 or 3 or something, right? So, I mean, for
genetics.
Me, no, not genetics.
What was it for you?
Well,
you ate a lot of beans?
My dad is like 5'9". My mom is a little tall. She's probably the same height as him, which is, I guess, tall for a woman. But even like her brothers are only like 6'1". I'm the only person in either side of the family who's ever sprouted up this tall.
What do you think it was?
I think it was my diet as a child. Like, I was an extremely picky eater, and I would only eat like a few different things until I turned 18.
What were those few things?
Peanut butter sandwiches and chicken nuggets. Like, that's all I would eat was chicken and peanut butter and like hamburger, plain hamburger on a bun. Like, those three things over and over and over and over again. We'd go out for pizza or something, and I'd refuse. I just wouldn't eat it. I would like eat, if forced, I would like take a nibble of the crust. But thank God Pizza Hut in like 1995 started serving buffalo wings, because then I had a chicken option. So I think for me it might have been diet related. I don't think it's all genetics on my.
So I don't have answers for that, to be quite honest. We'll just go to the next
segment. Okay.
How to start saying some more letters. You're good at these letter things.
PIC.
How to pick a lock. How to pick a good watermelon. How to pick a pineapple. How to pickle okra, and how to pick a door lock. Man, there's a lot of door. People are trying to pick door locks here.
Our good friend Brian M. from Austin could tell us how to pick a door lock. He actually knows how, but
I know how to do it with a credit card.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He's got like a pick kit, like a little kit he carries around.
Well, okay, but let's say you don't have the kit. You can do credit card.
Yeah.
You can just kick the door down. That's not really picking a lock.
But today's smart locks, I suppose those can be hacked, right? I'm going to edit that part out.
So the next one, let's do...
Oh, wait, I think the watermelon's a good one. How to pick a good watermelon.
Oh.
How would you pick? You're out in a field of watermelons.
I don't like ones with a bunch of brown shit all over them.
Oh.
So, like, you know, they got the, like, it looks like it's kind of rotting spots. I don't like those. I like it to look very symmetrical.
Uh-huh.
I don't want an odd-shaped watermelon.
No.
And, I don't know. Usually, I just fill them with vodka, so... Beyond that, as long as I can fill it with vodka, I think I'm okay.
I would probably for some reason pick one up and just kind of pound on it with my fist. I don't know what I'm going to get from that. But like if it makes a sound that's pleasing to me, I'd be like, okay, that's the one.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, for me, it's just symmetrical. I'm going to try how to B-U-S. How to bust a boil. How to bust a cheater. How to bustle a dress. How to bust belly fat. And how to bust a blister. I think how to bust a cheater.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, boy. Didn't have time to think about it, which is the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that our friend Gary has been cheating on his girlfriend.
Who the hell is Gary?
Just some guy.
It's a made-up name?
Yeah, made-up name. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Obviously. I'm not going to rat anybody out on the show. Gary's cheating on Melissa. God, I'm the type of person who would totally rat him out too. I'd probably relish the opportunity
to openly tell
Melissa that I saw something.
How about this? It's more of a, you have a suspicion that there's some cheating going on, but you don't know. You want to bust them.
Uh-huh.
How do you do that?
Oh, okay.
I know how I would do it.
How?
So I would go into their phone and create a contact of some random person. Or I would look to someone that maybe they were texting a lot, and I would maybe set up, my name is, let's say it's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Ashley, right? I'd put my phone number in their phone as Ashley.
Oh.
And then I'd text them and be like, hey, man. Or not, hey, man, because that's a guy talking to a guy. I'd be like, hey, baby, I've been looking for a good time. What you been up to? And then when they respond to you, they think it's Ashley. And they're like, hey, I don't remember who you are. And you're like, we met at that bar one night. And they're like, oh, yeah, let's hang out. You know, and then you can bust them that way.
Ingenious. I mean, if you can get into their phone.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You'd have to create a contact to yourself.
Huh. Yeah, how would I bust?
Or create a fake Facebook profile, then you wouldn't even have to bust into the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that's weird, because it's how to bust a cheater, how to bust into a phone.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, with iPhones, fingerprint, FaceTime, you can wait till the person's asleep. On the FaceTime, you got to open their eyelids, which is weird. But
yeah.
Dead person, you'd probably be okay with. But on the... sorry, I keep talking. What I was going to say, though, is on the... you could create a fake profile on Facebook with, a hot picture of a person, you know, and then try to get them that way. Message them.
Yeah.
Add them as a friend, then message them through Facebook.
Mm, sure, sure. That's good. I think the only thing I can think of is, hypnosis. You say,
hypnosis?
Hey, we should go to a hypnotist. And if they're, really reluctant, no, I'm afraid of what I might say, then, hey, bingo, you've got reason to suspect something's up. But if they do go to the hypnotist, then you tell them, ask if she's been cheating. And they'll have no choice but to give you the truth because they're hypnotized.
Tip them $100.
Yeah.
You could go to one of those comedy shows where it's the hypnotist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been to one of those where they do, they hypnotize, 20 people at once. And then they have them. So you could do that where you're like, we're going to a comedy show. And then they don't know it's a hypnotist. And then you're like, get her on stage!
Yeah. I say maybe if you know who you think she's or he or she is cheating with, get them to an event where you're all together and just see how they interact. If they're really standoffish with each other, or if they're really friendly with each other, or if they're very casual with each other. I mean, it should be a dead giveaway if you can get everybody in one room. I mean, it's like the premise of a sitcom, basically.
That's true. Or if you do suspect a specific person, mm-hmm. the other thing you could do is you create a Google Voice number. And you text that specific person from the Google Voice number, and you say, hey, this is whoever you think that they're cheating on them with. You say, this is blah, blah, blah. I changed my phone number.
Uh-huh.
Here's my new number. I want to make sure you had it. And then you can. They're going to save you as that new contact in their phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can start prodding them.
What if simultaneously, though, they're still texting at their old number?
That's true. That's the part you gotta be.
Yeah, hey, I'm gonna text you back and forth in both numbers for right now, okay? You gotta cover all bases.
You're right.
All right. Well, hey, we're hitting the 90-minute mark here.
Yeah,
I guess nobody's gonna be able to handle anything else here, so that's probably about it for how to do that episode 5.
We hope everyone enjoys their turkey comas and their heavy drinking, and they're gonna dress up as pilgrims. And you know what? I'll tell you what, people. If you, I know we probably don't have a ton of listeners yet, but if any of the listeners decide they want to post some pictures from Thanksgiving onto our How to Do That, we would approve those pictures and put them up as long as it's not someone naked or bathing suit Thanksgiving, and we'll be good.
I encourage that.
The bathing suit Thanksgiving?
Sure.
Oh, well, send them directly to Ryan as a private message.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving, Mr. Kristoff. And your
you
trip
too,
to Minneapolis.
Enjoy your trip up to the South Dakota for your first whole family. Oh, well, Lauren's not going to be there.
The wife will be there,
yeah. But the family Thanksgiving for your son.
Yes.
It'll be his first experience.
He's going to ride in the tractor with Grandpa. We're going to go to the big rocket slide in Huron. It's going to be a ball.
What?
We're going to have a blast.
Man, I want to go to your Thanksgiving.
You need to hear about this rocket slide someday, for real. Most dangerous playground equipment that's still standing.
Well, maybe some of our listeners will look it up online to see what the heck this is.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Tom, for your questions. Thanks, Aaron, for your question. And we'll probably be off next week, right?
Because I'm flying out Wednesday. Yeah.
Unless we think of doing a show before then. We could.
We could.
We'll see how next week plays out. But
yeah,
plan
I'm
on
free
2 weeks.
Tuesday night, so okay. I could probably do it Tuesday night.
Yeah, I fly out Tuesday night. We'd have to do Monday.
Oh.
we'll discuss this off air.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Ask Ryan and Bart how to do that.
How
to choose things.
How
to react. Two real smart guys will tell you how to do that.
How
to do that.